Hare Krishna. We are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 7, Text 71. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Although Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fainted, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not take notice of him. Rather, he quickly left. Who can understand the mind and intention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Purport. It was naturally expected that when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fainted and fell to the ground, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have taken care of him and waited for him to regain consciousness. But he did not do that. Rather, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately started on his tour. It is therefore very difficult to understand the activities of a transcendental person. Sometimes they may seem rather odd, but a transcendental personality remains in his position, unaffected by material considerations. Om Adnyandhimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are continuing our discussion from the Madhya Leela, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is starting on his tour of South India. If you have been hearing this for the last few weeks, then we know how Krishna Dharma Prabhu was speaking yesterday, and then previous weeks we saw how Mahaprabhu came to Puri and then he wants to leave Puri and start on his real mission, which is to deliver the lost souls in South India. And that's a big tour that he does, quite an important one. This particular verse, Tare Upekshya Koilo Shigra Gamana, Upeksha. Upeksha means to be indifferent, to not pay attention. So apparently, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he found out that Mahaprabhu is now finally leaving, he could not bear it and he fainted. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fainted, the general etiquette is, if somebody is in difficulty, you wait for that person to, you know, if somebody falls down, you at least lift that person up or you wait there. But as Prabhupada explains, Mahaprabhu was completely indifferent. Ah, he's fainted. So what? He just left. Completely indifferent. So this particular mood of indifference is seen in the Lord Himself and in His special devotees as well. Lord can be very indifferent sometimes. In fact, He might do things which are very mystical, very difficult to understand. In the 10th canto, chapter 47, verse 17, in the Brahmara Gita, which is where the honeybee or the bumblebee, sometimes they say, approached Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Srimati Radharani says one verse, one particular verse. She says, "You go away. You are a messenger of someone who cannot be trusted. Someone who is just so hard-hearted." She's telling the bumblebee to go away. What is she saying? She says, mrigayuriva kapindram vivyadhe lupta dharma. Mrigayuriva kapindram. Kapi Indra means the king of monkeys. Who was that? Bali, Sugriva's brother. That Bali, who was such a ferocious fighter, Mrugayuriva, your lord, Srimati Radharani is telling the bumblebee, your lord in his previous incarnation as Ram, he took the position of a Mrugayuhu. Mrugayuhu means an ordinary hunter. Just like an ordinary hunter hides behind the bushes and shoots the animal that he wants to kill. Your Ramachandra, Krishna in his previous life as Ramachandra, he hid behind the bushes. Not like a Kshatriya challenging face to face. Mrugayuriva kapindram vivyadhe lubdha dharma. And by doing this, he diminished dharma. Apparently, your Lord Krishna, he is here to establish dharma. But he did not follow dharma. Like a ordinary hunter, he killed Bali. And then, not only that, a beautiful lady, because he was attractive, a beautiful lady came to him with a nice proposal. Please get married to me. That was Ravana's sister, Surpanakha. Sthriyam akruta virupam. And what did he do in return? A poor lady, she came, please get married to me. Surpanakha came. He, virupam, he chopped her nose, her ears, and sent her back. Why? Sthrijita kamayanam. Because he was controlled by his own wife. Such a henpecked person. This is your Krishna in his previous life. And then he appeared again. He appeared again, how? Balim api balim atva. Balim api balim atva. Atva literally means to eat or to accept. So he appeared in front of Bali Maharaj and he accepted his offering. What was his offering? Bali Maharaj offered his very self. Atmanivedanam. He accepted his Atmanivedanam and then what did he do? Somebody gives you a gift, you thank him. What was his way of thanking? He bound him up and threw him in hell. Veshtaya dvangshavadya. This is very harsh. She says, dvangshavat. Dvangsha means a crow. Just like when you feed a crow, if you feed a crow from your palm, the crow will come, scratch you, bite you, and take the food away as well. Srimati Radharani accuses Krishna of being like that. This is her month, Kartik month. So we can speak on her behalf. Krishna is actually very happy if we do that. And so Srimati Radharani says, Tadalam asita sakyai. Enough of friendship with this asita. Asita means this blackish person. He is not only blackish in appearance, he is also blackish from inside. Very indifferent, very hard-hearted. Just see, yeah, Mahaprabhu is apparently being indifferent. Srimati Radharani accuses Krishna. Dustyaja. And then, the last line she says, but there is a difficulty. We don't want to be friends with him anymore. But, Dustyaja tat katham kathartha. Dustyaja. It's impossible to stop thinking and speaking about him. We don't want to be his friend. Somehow, we cannot stop thinking and speaking about him. So the Lord is indifferent, apparently, towards his devotees in his pastimes. In fact, he acts in a very strange way. Is he indifferent towards those who are inimical to him, is he indifferent? What do you think? Is he indifferent, or does he not love those who are, let's say, demoniac? Is he indifferent to the demons? He loves the demons. He loves everyone. Oh, which includes the demons. So he loves the demons too. Yeah. Then why does he favor the devotees over the demons? If he loves everyone, he should favor everyone. So there is an answer given. Akrura is thinking to himself, when he is carrying Krishna back, Krishna and Balram, he is thinking, just see, Krishna and Balram are willing to come with me to see Kamsa. So he is thinking, what is he thinking? Natasya kaschid daita surittamo. Natasya kaschid daita. Nobody is dear to Krishna. Surittamaha, nobody is his best friend. Nacha priyo dveshya, and nobody is hated by him. He doesn't hate anyone. Upeksha evava, and he's not indifferent to anyone. So here we see he's indifferent, apparently, externally. But in reality, he's not indifferent. Tathapi bhaktan, even then, towards the devotees, bhajate yatha tatha. He serves the devotees, he loves the devotees. So in one sense he is equal to everyone, but he loves the devotees more. Why? So the answer is given. Why? The answer is given. Surat drumo yat vadupa shritarthada. Surat druma means kalpataru vriksh, the wish-fulfilling tree. The wish-fulfilling tree, if you go to that tree and say, please give me a cup of poison, the tree will give you poison. If you say, please give me a cup of amrita, of nectar, the tree will give you nectar. Krishna is like that. Because the demoniac approach him with a particular desire, he reciprocates accordingly. You cannot say that tree is bad because you ask for poison and then you live with the consequence of drinking poison. It's not the tree who has to be blamed. So the Lord is actually not indifferent to anyone in reality. However, there's a beautiful thing in this verse. It says towards the end, you see, ke bujite pare, who is able to understand. Bujite means to understand. Mahaprabhur chitta mana, two things. Who is able to understand Mahaprabhu's chitta and mana? There are two things. Chitta means intention, and mana means mind. You can probably make a guess of somebody's mind. For example, if I go home and my wife is cooking, and I ask her, what's going on? How much, are you busy? And I take the plates out, and I take the, I put it all on the dining table. She can guess what's on my mind. Through my actions, she knows, oh, maybe he's hungry. So, the mind can be understood by external actions. But chitta, intention, is very difficult. So when we judge someone, at the most we can judge that person's mind. We can never understand anyone's intention, true intention, especially those who are advanced. Very difficult to understand their intention. And sometimes the Lord apparently is very, very hard-hearted. Not only is he hard-hearted, apparently, his intention is not that, but apparently, he also makes his devotees hard-hearted. He makes them for the purpose of pastime. And other devotees may perceive that and some may not perceive that. And there's a good example of that. When Akrura came to take Krishna to Mathura, Do you know what happened? That was in Nandgaon. Akrura went to Nandgaon because by that time they had shifted to Nandgaon. So when Akrura was taking Krishna away, what do you think happened to the Brajavasis? Were they all happy and joyful? Yeah, come on, go kill Kamsa. No? Huh? They were blaming Akrura. Actually, you know what? There was only one section that was blaming Akrura. They were the gopis. What about the others? What about the cowherd men, the elderly cowherd women, the sakhas? What were they doing? They were telling Krishna, stop, stop. No. They were saying, go, come on, kill Kamsa. Yeah. In the 10th canto, chapter 39, verse 27, the gopis are saying that not only Krishna is hard-hearted, he has also somehow magically made his other devotees completely indifferent and dumb. They say, anardradhiresha, anardradhi. Dhi means intelligence and heart also. Anardra, ardra means very loving, very soft. Krishna has anardra dhi, which means he has a very hard heart. The gopis are saying, and then they are saying, samasthito ratham. He is now sitting on the rath, ready to leave. Tamanvamicha. And all these gopas and the sakhas and Nanda Maharaj himself, they are also ready to follow him. Yeah, yeah, very good, go, we'll follow you. Twarayanti durmadaha. They are fools, the gopis say. They are following him, twarayanti, they are running after him. How are the gopas running? Of course, Akrura has a chariot with horses. What are the gopas? They don't have horses. So what do they have? Gopa anobihi, anobihi, on ox cart. So Akrura is going on the horse and the gopas are saying, come on, let's go. On the ox cart, they are all following Akrura. So if you read the pastime, when Kamsa was killed, all the Brajavasis except for the gopis, all the Brajavasis were there. Some gopis made it, some elderly gopis. Otherwise, all the other Brajavasis were there, cheering up Krishna. And gopis are accusing this. What are they saying? Sthavirai rupekshitam upeksha. Same. They are saying that somehow Krishna has mystically made all these elderly gopas who should know better than us, that once Krishna leaves, he shall never come back. Sridhar Swami in his commentary, he says that actually gopis could see that once Krishna leaves, he will not come back. So they are saying, sthavarai means those who are elderly, at least they should know. But even they have become dumb. They have become indifferent. What can we do? Daivam chanodya. Adya, today, daivam, our fortune is very bad today. It's our misfortune. Pratikulam ihate. Everything opposite is happening. So the gopis are really unable to understand why even the elderly gopas can't see it. They can't stop Krishna. So Krishna sometimes makes his devotees indifferent for the purpose of pastimes. And this indifference or this strange behavior of devotees comes out in three ways. What are the three ways? Anyone knows? What are the three ways in which the devotees can come across as very strange, very odd in their behavior? Three ways. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is instructing Sanatana Goswami, he tells Sanatana Goswami that devotees can be a little weird sometimes in three ways. In what they speak. You have experienced that? Sometimes they speak something very odd. Yeah, they can. If they are very advanced, they'll speak even more odd things. in the way they act, it can be very mystical. Why somebody is acting like that? And the symptoms they display. So Mahaprabhu says to Sanatana, he tells Sanatana Goswami, Jaro chitte Krishna prema koro e udaya. In whose heart Krishna prema has appeared, that person will be Taro bakya kriya mudra. Bakya kriya mudra. Three things. Bakya means words. Kriya means actions. Mudra means symptoms. Taro bakya mudra vidneha na bujhae. Even though you try to understand that person's words, his actions and his symptoms, you cannot understand. Mahaprabhu is saying, that is one quality of a great personality, great devotee. For example, now we see some examples, so it becomes practical. First I'll give you example of Vakya, then of Kriya, and then of Mudra. Mahaprabhu himself acted as a devotee. He came as Bhakta Swarupa. Bhakta Avatar, Bhakta Swarupa. Exemplifying himself as a devotee, he did everything in an exemplary manner. But sometimes he did things, he spoke things which were very, very difficult to understand. For instance, once, while dancing in front of the Rath Yatra cart, he started saying a particular verse loudly. When devotees heard that verse, they were scratching their heads. What is he saying? In front of Jagannath, he's dancing and he's singing this? Why? So what was Mahaprabhu singing? It's a beautiful verse in Shardula Vikritita Meter. Beautiful verse. Yaha kumara harasa eva viyam. Yaha kaumara harasa eva hi varas. Ta eva chaitrakshapa. Techon milita malati surabhaya. Praudha kadam banila. Sachai vasmi tathapi tatra surata. Vyapara lila vidhau. Reva rodasi vetasi tarutale. Cheta samutkanthate. The meaning is very beautiful meaning. Yaha kaumara hara sa eva hi vara. He whom I fell in love during my early years is right here somewhere. Mahaprabhu is saying, he's a sannyasi dancing in front of Jagannath. He whom I fell in love in my early years is somewhere here. Ta eva chaitra kshapa. And the same month of Chaitra is there. Today, this month is the same month of Chaitra. These days and nights of Chaitra are passing. I remember that love of my life is here somewhere. Techon milita malati surabhayaha. Surabhayaha means the scent. The beautiful scent of malati flowers is right here. I can smell this beautiful aroma. You know, when you met someone at a certain point in your life, you remember, if it was a very special person, you'll remember everything. Where it was, what was the background, what was the smell like, how was the feeling, whether it was day or night. So Mahaprabhu here is saying, that lover of mine, when I met that lover in the month of Chaitra, beautiful malti flower smell, which is, malti is jasmine, it's Indian jasmine. Actually, that's the flower that is offered in the month of Kartika. It's a beautiful flower. It's also called as Mogra. Some in Indian shops if you buy. And he says, Praudha Kadamba Nila. From the Kadamba tree, beautiful Kadamba. The breeze is, thick breeze is flowing and I can smell Kadamba. Mahaprabhu is creating the mood of a lover. And then he is saying, Sachai vasmi tathapi tatra surata. I am the same lady, Mahaprabhu says. I am the same lady, but surata vyapara leela vidhau. But I am not able to feel that love today within me. Reva rodasi vetasi tarutale. I wish we could escape from this place. He is dancing in front of Jagannath. I wish we can escape from this place and go to the banks of Narmada, Reva. And over there, vetasi tarutale, sit together under the bamboo trees. Chetaha samutkandhate. That's the only thing that is overflowing in my heart right now. That's the only thing I wish to do. Imagine Mahaprabhu is dancing in front of Jagannath singing this. And all the devotees there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the Mahaprabhu is saying this love song. Imagine you go to Jagannath Rath Yatra and apparently somebody is saying some Hollywood, Bollywood song or something in the middle of the... And that too is a very special personality. It's very difficult to understand. Vakya, very difficult to understand. But it takes one to know one, isn't it? So Rupa Goswami, Swarup Damodar understood what the meaning was. Rupa Goswami, the following day, he wrote a verse and he put it in the... In his thatched hut, he stuck the verse on the roof and the verse explained. We don't have time for that verse. A beautiful verse in which he says, Priya Soyam Krishna. So in simple words, I'll explain. Mahaprabhu's meaning was this, that I am Srimati Radharani and my Lord Krishna is right here in Kurukshetra where we have all come to see him. Because the gopis went to Kurukshetra during the solar eclipse. And that was no ordinary solar eclipse. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, it happened once in the lifetime of Brahma. Very special. Not once in Kali Yuga, not once in Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga. Once in the lifetime of Brahma. So solar eclipse, that solar eclipse, they went to celebrate at Kurukshetra. The gopis and all the Brajvasis. There they met Krishna. So Srimati Radharani is saying, now my Lord is here. However, I don't feel happy here. I wish we could go away on the banks of Yamuna. Here Mahaprabhu says, Reva Rodasi, on the banks of Reva. Actually, Reva is called as Narmada. And Narma means pastimes. And Da means that which gives or enhances the pastime. So actually he meant Yamuna. But he said, Reva. This who could understand? Only Rupa could understand. Rupa Goswami could understand. And then he says, Vetasi tarutale. Vetasi means bamboo. Actually, Rupa Goswami understood. What Mahaprabhu meant was that Srimati Radharani desires to take Krishna back to Vraj and on the banks of Yamuna sit with him and listen to his beautiful flute of bamboo. That was the meaning which Rupa Goswami explained. So Vakya is not easy to understand when it comes to pure devotees. Also, some other example, very simple, quick example. There are many examples. I'd give you one or two examples. For example, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he tells Mahaprabhu, this Ramananda Rai, I have actually met him, but before you converted me to become a Vaishnava, I could never understand this Ramananda. The kind of things he speaks, it just seems so odd. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, Alaukika Bhakya Cheshta Tarana Bhujaya. I could not understand his transcendental words, Ramananda Rai's words. Parihasya koriyachi tara Vaishnava boliya. I only made fun of him. He's some crazy Vaishnava. These Vaishnavas, they speak something we don't understand. So, one other example, very simple, easy example that we all know. When Mahaprabhu was teaching Vyakaranam, Sanskrit grammar, to his students, Once his students came, and what was Mahaprabhu chanting? Krishna, Krishna? No. What was he chanting? Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. Could these students understand why he was chanting Gopi? No. The students chastised him, their guru, by saying what? Krishna naam na lokyane, Krishna naam dhanya. Why are you not taking Krishna naam? Krishna naam is most auspicious. Please take Krishna naam. Gopi, Gopi, bolileva, kiva hoya punya. What is this Gopi, Gopi? You are not going to get any punya by saying Gopi, Gopi. Say Krishna, Krishna. They could not understand. So sometimes words of a Vaishnava and of the Lord are not understandable. So Vakya, Kriya. Kriya means activities. Activities can be even more mysterious. Many examples are there. Imagine a sannyasi who is a Naishtika Brahmachari, never married. He's never even looked at a woman. And he tells a woman, please, her husband is there, she's married and she's pregnant, and he says, please come to my home. We have some nice kutir, you stay there, and I'll look after you. And she is in prasuti, Bhagavatam says. Prasuti means she could give birth any time. And he is looking after her. If she is not feeling well, he is giving medicine. And he is a sannyasi. Is it making sense? Not making sense, right? How can a sannyasi be doing such a thing? But it happened. In Bhagavatam 7th canto it says, Narad Muni looked after Kayadhu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, personally looking after her. He was cooking for her. Narada is cooking. Narada, Bhagavatam says, Prasuti, she was about to give birth anytime. And he looked after a pregnant lady, not worrying if others will accuse him. But great personalities can do such things. Prabhupada explains in the purport that activities of great persons cannot be understood. There was another example in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela. We have in Antya Leela, when Mahaprabhu's beautiful pastimes are being mentioned, there is an example of one Vaishnava. His name is, anyone knows? Kalidas. Anyone has heard of Kalidas? Who has heard of Kalidas? No one? Yes. Who was Kalidas? Ram Narasingha Prabhu. Okay. So Kalidas was a very special person. Why was he so special? Because he was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, completely in whatever he did. And how is it explained? It is explained like this. In Antya Leela chapter 16, it says, Dasabara Sanghe Vailo Kalidasa Nama. There was one person by the name of Kalidas. Krishna Nama Bina Teho Nahi Kohe Ana. He did not speak anything. Imagine I'm speaking something, you will speak something, right? If you're having prasadam, you'll say, Prabhu, give me some more samosas. Or you'll say, enough, enough, I don't like khichdi. Something you will say, or I want to go now, I want to just sleep. Or I want to chant my japa, something you would speak. But this Kalidas, he would only say, Krishna, 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 nothing else. It's nothing, no words. The only words he would speak is, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Mahabhagvato teho sarala udara. He was a Mahabhagvat, very simple person, and udara, very magnanimous. Krishna nama sankete chalaya vyapar. Vyapar means all the activities he did simply by saying Krishna nama, nothing else. In fact, sometimes he would play the game of dice, gambling. And in that he would do this. What would he do? Kautukete teho yadi pashako khelaya. Kautukete, sometimes, just for fun, if he would gamble for fun, Hare Krishna, Krishna Kori, Pasha Ka Chala Hai. He will say, now I'm going to get all sixes. He may think like this, you know, in the dice. He would say, Hare Krishna, and he would throw the dice. And he will lose, then he would take another dice. Hare Krishna, Krishna, like this. Now you might think, what is this? He's devotee or not? Kaviraj Goswami, at the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita, towards the end, 16th chapter, he is giving example of Kalidas as a Mahabhagavat. But his Kriya Mudra, very difficult to understand. One person is chewing tobacco, is being fanned by beautiful women. He's sitting on a nice silk cushion and lying and being, you know, he's got his paan, his chewing paan, and because of the tobacco mixed with lime, chuna, it becomes red. So he's spitting. So there is one servant, he's standing there with a spittoon, and this person spits every 5 minutes in the spittoon. And Mukunda, who is a friend of Gadadhar Pandit, he tells Gadadhar, I will introduce you to one Vaishnava. And he's such a great soul that when Mahaprabhu just utters his name, Mahaprabhu cries. And if I introduce you to him, you have to pay something back. What you will pay back? Gadadhar says, I don't have anything. I'm a sannyasi. I can't pay you. He said, okay, pay me in this manner. Let me become your servant forever. So Gadadhar says, Krishna, Krishna, don't say such things. But please introduce me to this Vaishnava. So Mukunda goes and he introduces Gadadhar to this person that I just described. Beautiful women fanning him, sitting on a silken throne, spitting in a spittoon. And Mukunda says, here he is. His name is Pundarika Vidyanidhi. He is fit to become your guru. Actually, Gadadhar Pandit's dyuti is a reflection of Radharani. And Pundarika Vidyanidhi is Vrishabhanu Maharaj, father of Srimati Radharani. So they are eternally related. Anyway, so Mukunda is saying, this, he is worthy of becoming your guru. Immediately Gadadhar is looking at him and he is a sannyasi, he is going to become shishya of such a person. Gadadhar says, no, no, I cannot. He pays obeisance and he leaves. Mukunda says, no. You cannot judge the devotee by how he looks, what he does. Kriya, very difficult. What? How can we judge then? So, what is the answer he gives? Anyone knows? Huh? Chitta, by the intention. Yes, very good. So, how do you know the? How do you take out the intention, the deep intention of the devotee? You take out the deep intention by, you see, if you want to test something, whether it is an acid or an alkaline, there's a litmus paper, right? In science, you must have studied in your GCSEs, there's a litmus test. What is a litmus test for a devotee? So, Mukunda says, Gadadhar, go back to him and sing this verse. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jigham sayaya. When you sing this verse, aho bakiyam, aho bakiyam, where is this verse from? Bhagavatam? Who sings this verse? No. Homework for you, Sam. Find out where is this verse from, not gopis. I'll give you a hint. Maitreya and someone. No. Okay, it's a homework for Sam. So, he's a very nice boy. Very dedicated. So, when he sings this verse, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam, my Lord is so merciful that Putana came to kill him. And yet, the Lord is so kind. Even though the demoness wanted to kill him, He raised her to the platform of his own mother. How kind is the Lord! When Pundarika Vidyanidhi heard this verse, Aho Bakiyam, immediately he stood up and he fainted. And then when he woke up, he spoke the most beautiful explanation of the pastime of Putana. Kadadhar, when he heard those things, he started crying because he could understand who Vidyanidhi is. Externally, he could not understand. So the litmus test is this. Mudra. Mudra means symptoms, the third thing. Three things, you remember? Vakya, Kriya and Mudra. Mudra is symptom. Symptoms of a devotee. Mahaprabhu's symptoms, there are many examples, but just in gist. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikhanda. It is said Mahaprabhu would sometimes be in ecstasy, and once he was complaining that he had some gastric problem. He had a flatulence and some kind of a gastric problem apparently. So at that time, all the devotees came to the house to pacify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here it is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, very funny but at the same time very mysterious, the symptoms. Ekodina bayudeha mandyakori chala prakashena prema bhakti bikara sakala. On the pretext of being sick, feverish, and having gastric issue, Mahaprabhu exhibited his symptoms. What were his symptoms? Now listen carefully. Achambite prabhu alaukika shabda bole. Whenever he would see someone, suddenly he will start saying some words. Ah-ha-ha-ha, oh, something like this. Devotees are wondering, what happened to him? Gadagadi jaya hase ghara bhangi phele. He would go from one end of the house to another, pull out the cupboards down, rip off the walls, bash the pots, everything upside down in the house. Hukara garjana kori maslata pure. Ha, come on, he would say. And he would do this, you know, like, come on, fight. And then, sammukhe dekhaya jare tarahai mare. Whoever was standing in front of him, he would grab that person by the neck and give him some punches. It's mentioned, I'm not making it up. This was Mahaprabhu's ecstasy. The devotees were standing, Mahaprabhu, you are okay? Some humble devotee comes. Yes, I'm okay, come. So, this was his ecstasy. Kshane kshane sarvanga stambhakriti hoya. Every moment, he would become stunned like a statue. Few moments, he would express this kind of a mood and then he will become a statue. Hena murcha hoya loke dekhi paya bhaya. Ordinary people became afraid. Something is going wrong. We cannot enter this house. They called. There were Buddhimanta Khan was there. I think Sanjay was there and Mukunda was there. Mukunda is a doctor. They said, please sort him out. Something is wrong. He was expressing his symptoms of ecstasy were like this. So, Vakya, Kriya and Mudra, very difficult to understand. But Rupanugas, we are Rupanugas. Why we are Rupanugas? Why are we not Sanatananugas, Raghunathanugas, Gopalanugas, Jivanugas? Why we are Rupanugas? Because, yes, we are followers of Rupa Goswami, but why Rupa Goswami? Because Mahaprabhu's mind, his heart, his intention, Chitta Mana, Rupa Goswami could understand. That is why when we pray to Rupa Goswami, what do we pray? Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Manaha Abhishtam. Whatever was in the mind and heart of Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Manaha Abhishtam, that he knew. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. He established that on the planet Earth. That is why we are Rupanugas. because he understands the heart and mind of Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada gives the answer why devotees can act in this funny manner sometimes. In the purport to Adi Leela, chapter 15, verse 22, Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees who come to this world are executing a mission. Underline. They are executing a mission. And therefore sometimes they act in a way that is very difficult to understand. Why do they act in such a way? Because they are executing a mission. Why did Mahaprabhu ignore Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya although he had fainted? Because he knew if he waited for Sarvabhauma, Sarvabhauma would wake up and it will be even more difficult for him to leave for the South India tour. So it's okay. He had a greater mission. So Srila Prabhupada then goes on to say that one should not commit Vaishnava Aparadha, thinking that the Vaishnava is behaving in such a strange manner. In fact, in Varaha Puran, and we have no time for that, but in Varaha Puran, Madhvacharya quotes Varaha Puran explaining how one can understand who a devotee is. He says, in gist I will say, he says, Kechid Unmada Vatbhakta. Some devotees are just externally they behave mad. You look at them, he's a bit strange, she's a bit strange. You'll feel. Kechid Bahya Lingo Pradarshaka. Externally they appear a little different, not ordinary. But some, and most, at least within the society, within our movement, most, they are Kechid Antara Bhaktasyu. They are internally very advanced, but externally you can't tell. Kechit chaivo upayatma ubayatmaka. Some are both. They are sometimes externally also very difficult to understand, but internally they are very deep. So how do you understand? Madhvacharya gives the answer from Varaha Puran. He says, mukha prasada dhardhyacha. In two ways you understand the devotee, the level of a devotee, the advancement of a devotee. Mukha prasadat, when he or she opens their mouth in relation to topics of Krishna, you know how advanced they are. And dhardyat, with the love and intensity that they speak, you know how dear they are to Krishna. Otherwise nobody can know how dear. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, it is a mystery to understand how much Krishna loves someone. It's a mystery. Cannot understand. We may think, oh, he is just an ordinary devotee. What is ordinary about being a devotee? Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. After many births, somebody might say, I will accept Krishna, I will read Bhagavad Gita, I will read Srimad Bhagavatam. And out of many millions of such people, Vasudeva sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlabha. The person who accepts Krishna as everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sa mahatma, such a great person, sudurlabha, is the most rare. And yet we say, he is just ordinary devotee. What is ordinary about him? He is sudurlabha. Everyone here in this room is sudurlabha. He is special. You couldn't be here. Padma Purana says, when you are punya of many, many lifetimes come together, sanchita, they have been gathered and they come together, then one can come to Krishna. Such a rare opportunity. The problem is we are dealing with all the others who are similarly in a exalted position and in a such a rare with such a rare background, and so we don't recognize. So when a devotee opens his mouth, you know, actually in the book of Proverbs in the Bible, there is a I think it is Book of Proverbs. I can't remember the chapter and verse. But it says, a very famous quote from Jesus Christ. He says, even fools seem to be learned as long as they don't open their mouth. And as long as they don't open their mouth, they seem to understand everything. Jesus says this to his disciples. The reality is, if you want to know who somebody is, he may be fighting, yelling, or he may be, you know, very mystical. You know, this person is just some ordinary person. Bring Krishna. If Krishna touches his heart, his lips, see what comes out. That depth that comes out tells you how advanced somebody is. So, one last thought may come to our mind. Is Krishna indifferent like this only in the material world with some devotees, or is he indifferent even in the spiritual world? What do you think? Can he do this kind of upeksha in the spiritual world also? What do you think, Prabhu? Yes? You think so? That even in the spiritual world he'll ignore you? Here he may ignore you sometimes. Story of Rukmini, but that was in Bhauma Dwarka, in Dwarka of this earth. Or even the Brajvasis are Bhauma, in Bhauma Vrindavan, which is Vrindavan of the earth. In Golok Vrindavan, will he do the same? Will he ignore? What do you think? It is said, would you like to know?
Yeah.
It is said that when Krishna interacts with his devotees, sometimes the devotees express mana. Mana means they become disappointed externally with Krishna. Some disappointment is there. Actually, mana is mainly reserved for Madhurya Ras. But we do not have the authority or the understanding to go in that direction. So we will not, in this August assembly, will not go into Madhurya Ras. But I will give you how mana is addressed by Krishna. If somebody is upset with Krishna, how Krishna addresses it in case of his sakhas, in case of his friends. Because in Sakya and Vatsalya also, there is some chaya of mana. The pure mana is only expressed by Srimati Radhika and Gopis, which we are not going towards that direction. But some easy example to understand, mana along with sakhas. So one sakha of Krishna is Madhumangala. You know that, Madhumangala? He loves to eat. He is a Brahmana. He is the son of Krishna's teacher. And he is also a little bit older than Krishna, just a little, a few days. So he sometimes also has authority of being older. So mana, or being upset in the spiritual world, now I'm talking about Golok Vrindavan, is of two types. Sahetu and Nirhetu. Sahetu means there is a cause for becoming upset with Krishna, and Nirhetu, there is no cause. Sometimes even in this world people become upset with us for no cause, apparently. They just don't like our face, they don't like our tilak, they don't like... There is one devotee, he doesn't like how I wear dhoti. Now please don't start looking at my dhoti, man. But he looks at me, he turns his face away. He says, hey, you... What can I do? I have tried my best, but this is how I wear it. So, everyone has some dislike for some reason. Sometimes there is no reason. So here, hetu, sahetu and nirhetu. There is a cause or there is no cause. I will tell you about if there is a cause for becoming upset. For example, if Krishna has not offered the first when he opens the lunch box, if he does not in Bhandiravan, they have lunch in Bhandiravan under this beautiful Akshaya Vat, the tree, the banyan tree. All the gopas, they have their lunch there. And when Krishna's lunch box opens, who has to eat the first? The first morsel has to go to Madhumangal. Sometimes Krishna feels like he is a person. He feels like, no, I will have it. So he quickly takes the bite. Immediately upset. Mother Mangala is now upset. I don't want to talk to you. You have done grave offense to a Brahmana for which you will have to atone. Krishna says, so Krishna has five ways to react. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Ujjvala Neelamani explains, these Shastras, the Goswamis have explained, mana is dealt with in five ways. Sahetu mana, if there is a cause, then five ways. What are the five ways? Number one, sama. Number two, bheda. Number three, kriya. Number four, dana. Number five, nati. Actually six ways. Sixth, upeksha. We'll see all these six. Quick examples. So if now Madhu Mangala is upset, how Krishna deals with him? So Mataji, we'll see how upeksha is there in the spiritual world also. Number one, Krishna will immediately make up with him through sama. Sama means sweet words. He'll tell, oh Madhu, you're so sweet. Just see, your name itself is Madhu, which means sweet. Not only are you Madhu, wherever you are, that is most auspicious, Mangala. Hence your name is Madhu Mangala. You are sweet and auspicious both. So in this way Krishna, and then Madhu Mangala says, all right, that's fine. And he is pacified. This is first way. Sometimes Krishna will do bheda. Bheda means some kind of a witty joke Krishna will crack. So now Madhu Mangala is upset. So Krishna will tell all the gopas, what do you think about my mother's cooking, Yashoda Maiya's cooking? Because all the gopas, they are putting their hand and eating from Krishna's lunchbox, and they don't like it, they put it back. Krishna says, really, you didn't like this? Let me try. Oh no, this is nice. He's eating shishta, avashishta. In Bhagavad Gita, the same Krishna says that food in the mode of ignorance is food which has been uchishta, which has been eaten by someone. With the gopas, he's fighting to eat their morsels. See, different. So, here, they are all eating, Madhu Mangala is upset. So what does Krishna do? He cracks some witty joke. What does he do? He says, actually, none of you know whether these preparations are nice or not. Some of you are saying they are nice, some are saying they are not nice. Actually, there is only one amongst us who is the master of Rasa Shastra. Rasa Shastra means two things. Rasa Shastra means a big thing actually. It means the rasika things. But rasa also means the taste. Tongue is also known as rasala, which because it tastes. So, only one amongst us, that is Madhu Mangala, he knows the full rasas. So let us invite him to become the judge. Like they joke on him and he becomes pacified. Second way. Third way to pacify, kriya, worship. Krishna says, oh Madhu Mangala, I'm so sorry. We all will come and worship you. Sit here. They make him sit on one of the branch and they take all their food offerings. There is no lamp and incense. So they take laddus and all the sweets from their boxes and they do sweet aarti. Madhu Mangala. They do aarti with the sweets. Madhu Mangala says, see, you really know. Brahmana bhojana priya. Brahmanas means, one lakshana is, they love to eat. They love to be fed. Brahmana is the only class which will ask from their own side, when will you feed me, Prabhuji? When can I come to your house? If somebody does that, you know this is a Brahmana. Brahmana bhojana priya. Yeah. So, Madhu Mangala offer worship of laddus, he is happy. This is the third way. Fourth way, dana, gifts. The following day, if Madhu Mangala is upset, following day Krishna will bring extra laddus, an extra box. He'll tell Maiya to his mother, Maiya, yesterday Chintamani, she was so hungry, she just burst into, Chintamani is one of the cows by the way, she just burst into me, horned me, and took away one lunch box and had all the sweets. So today you make some extra sweets for Chintamani. And she is giving, she is going to give birth. She is pregnant. So we should look after such a beautiful cow. So Mother Yashoda says, sure, sure, Lala, I will make extra box for Chintamani. He doesn't want it for Chintamani. He gives it to Madhu Mangala. He says, Madhu, today I have brought a gift for you, just for you. See. And by taking gift, Madhu Mangala is pacified. Next way, the fifth way, Nati. Nati means to bow down. When Madhu Mangala becomes upset, immediately Krishna catches hold of his feet. Namo Brahmani Devaya, no Brahmani Hitaya cha. He cannot say the next part of the verse. Jagat Didaya Krishnaya. He cannot glorify himself. He is just glorifying Namo Brahmani Devaya. So, after glorifying Madhu Mangala, catching his feet, he is fine. Now we come to the last one. In the spiritual world also, the last method of Krishna dealing with Madhu Mangala was upset. Madhu Mangala is upset. He doesn't want to play with the boys. He is crying. Krishna does upeksha. Sometimes he deals with indifference. He says to the other gopas, it's okay, let him cry. Let's go and play. And then Madhu Mangala, realizing that actually nothing's going to work here, he says, oh, sons of Vaishyas, come back, come back. Come back to this Brahmana. I will give blessing to whoever wants to win the game. Because there are two sides, Krishna's side and Balaram's side. So he says, whoever wants to win the game needs my blessings. Come back. So like that, he has to bend. Because Krishna is indifferent. And then Balaram's team goes for blessing. Please, Brahman Devata, bless all of us so we win. And Krishna is indifferent. He says, don't care about Madhu today. So Krishna can be indifferent, even in the spiritual world. He's a person. All these examples are given by our Goswamis. So how should we take this indifference? Last verse and I will finish. The conclusion is, Mahaprabhu was indifferent in this case because he had a greater mission to achieve. Krishna may be indifferent to us, devotees may be indifferent to us, or behave in some strange way that we may not understand. We should take this. Shukdev Goswami explains Maharaj Parikshit in the second canto, chapter 10. Dravyam karma cha kalascha swabhava jiva eva cha. Everything actually in this world, yad anugrahata santi nasanti yad upekshaya. Everything that is there in the world, all dealings between everyone, in fact the very existence of time, the very existence of these elements, the very existence of the jiva, is because the Lord is concerned about us. He is really never indifferent to us in reality. But when he appears to be indifferent, it is simply his anugraha. It is simply his grace. So in every indifference, in every difficult, apparent difficult situation, Krishna, why didn't you help me? When that question comes to our mind, think, even in that situation, there is some grace of the Lord. There is some purpose. There is some grace. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Kalyana Kalpataru, beautiful prayers. We have Prabhu saying such wonderful kirtans. And if you can sing bhajan from Kalyana Kalpataru, oh, beautiful bhajans. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when Krishna shows us upeksha, like here, tara upekshya koilo. When Krishna shows upeksha, what do you do? He says, Bhakti hina boli na koro upekha. Oh Lord, please don't think I have no bhakti and hence you become indifferent towards me. Don't do that, please. Murkha jani deha jnana suhushikha. Consider me to be foolish. Give me the understanding that where is your hidden mercy in your apparent indifference. Help me understand where your hidden mercy is. Somewhere hidden in that apparent indifference is your mercy. Help me understand that. With these words, I'll stop. We've gone over time, but I thought I'll cover these things. So I shall not take questions. If anyone has any questions, I'll be around for some 5-10 minutes. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samvet Bhaktavrinda ki jai.